This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
An ominous report has appeared from Newsweek, no longer in print, but the message is still coming out. Here is the report. There are ominous signs that the Earth's weather patterns have begun to change dramatically, and that these changes may portend a drastic decline in food production with serious political implications for just about every nation on the Earth. The drop in food output could begin quite soon, perhaps only 10 years from now. The regions destined to feel its impact are the great wheat-producing lands of Canada and the USSR, Ukraine in the north, along with a number of other marginally self-sufficient tropical areas. The evidence in support of these predictions has now begun to accumulate so massively that meteorologists are hard-pressed to keep up with it. The report came out from Newsweek, April 28, 1975. 1975, friends. 1975, not yesterday. And what were they talking about? Global cooling. In fact, that's the title of the article, The Cooling World. They were prognosticating that we were going to have a, well, some sort of a glacial cover of the north of the United States. In fact, we were going to have a mini glacial age. That's what they told us in the 1970s. Then it metastasized in the 1990s into a global warming trend. And then when it was decided that, yes, indeed, there was some global warming after the global cooling, that maybe, just maybe, the global warming was slowing down. And we can't talk about global warming anymore because actually it's not happening. So then came a new title, climate change. Climate change. Have you noticed, by the way, that there's a report, a weather report every day that comes in your area? Why do we have a weather report every day? Because the climate keeps changing. In fact, almost everywhere you go across the country, if you talk to somebody about the weather, they'll say something like this. Well, this is the way it is today, but just wait about 4 hours or 6 hours or 10 hours or tomorrow, and it'll be radically different. All across the country, they say such things. In other words, have you ever noticed that the climate keeps changing? In fact, the climate has changed dramatically over the past 4,000 years since Noah rowed the ark to safety. Did you know that? Since Noah rowed his ark to safety, there has been climate change. In fact, it was climate change caused by God, the Creator himself, that caused the flood. Just letting you know, putting you a little hint in your mind that we're going to have a conversation today about the so-called collapsing climate. Lies that are threatening liberty, not only in the West, but all over the world. Deceit by omission, not just by commission, but overt lies, but not telling the whole truth. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about this with our new special friend, Frank Lassay, from Wisconsin, a former legislator from Wisconsin. He has written a fascinating book called Climate and Energy Lies. He says it's expensive, dangerous, and destructive. Frank, it's good to have you on the program.
Well, thanks for having me on. These are really important topics that most of us take for granted because we can afford our energy costs and they're generally reliable, but we shouldn't be taking them for granted because it is changing and it's directly related to the climate and energy lies we're being told.
Well, it is true. And now we're told that there's going to be a new force on the planet, a new sheriff in charge in this country that is going to re-up on the production of oil and gas, because just before Joe Biden was elected, Russia came out with a report indicating that America had become the number one producer of oil and gas and energy in the world. They're not saying that anymore, but maybe that's about to change. What say you?
I think it is going to change, and the big area is really in natural gas. There's so much misinformation and just things we don't know, but the world uses a tremendous amount of fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas, and it's kind of hard for us to get our heads around it. The United States uses 20 million of the 100 million barrels of oil used every day. That's every day.
Every day.
And we produce about 13 million barrels. So we're importing about 7 million barrels a day. But how could we be net exporters or energy independent? That's because we've become the leading exporter of natural gas. There are about 140 trillion cubic feet of natural gas used every year in the world. And we're exporting more than any other country in the world. Coal. Coal is used for 56% of China's energy, all their energy, not just electricity, which is about 20 to 30% of energy, and it has to be created by something else. And India, about 75% of all of India's energy comes from coal. And together, they're building hundreds of coal plants, and China uses more than half of that 8.5 billion tons of coal.
And we're funding China's economy with all of our Chinese goods, and not admitting that it's all being generated by dirty coal.
That's exactly right. And not only is it dirty coal, but they practice slave labor. They have about a million people they've locked up and have them working. And they have lower wage costs. And then they also have very little environmental protection laws. So they are dumping, and that's why they're processing all the graphite in the world, 95% of the cobalt, most all of the lithium, making the batteries, because when they have, you know, the materials that are left over, the slag that's left over, the chemicals, the acids that they're using, they just dump them in the ground or into rivers, and they run into the ocean. So they're always going to be the low-cost provider. We don't allow that sort of thing here, and that costs money.
Maybe that's why they call the big river over there the Yellow River.
I'm not sure why it's yellow.
Well, listen, we've got a lot to talk about here on our plate here today, talking about this, because it's one thing to have the statistics. It's another thing to look at the motivations behind the statistics and what is happening and the claims that are being made. An article came out from, I believe it was the Israel National News, Arut Sheva, last week, talking about the sins of omission, and that the sins of omission are just as bad or worse than the sins of commission. In other words, open lying or lying by refusing or failing to tell the whole truth. And I think one of the biggest problems that we have with regard to trying to digest issues with regard to the climate and energy is we're not told the whole truth. We're only told things that people want us to hear because they have an agenda that they're not telling us about. We're going to talk about all of that as we get into it here today with our special guest, Frank Lassay, his book, Climate and Energy Lies. You can get a copy of this book for $20. It's on our website, $23. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
So good to have you join us here on Viewpoint today as we confront the deepest issues of America's heart and home. In fact, our world right now, the matter of climate. What does it actually mean? Well, climate is back basically the environment that we live in. It's the weather environment. It can refer to an economic environment. That's the economic climate. Climate is basically the environment that we live in. So, When we talk about this matter of climate change, that brings up an issue of how does the climate change? Why does the climate change? And are humans responsible or primarily responsible for climate change? Our guest today says, and I agree, climate change is being sold as a man-made catastrophe. Why is it not a man-made catastrophe, Frank?
Because ultimately God is in control.
Really? God is in control?
He certainly is of the earth and all of us.
Well, that's interesting because the former candidate for the presidency said just a few weeks ago that some fellas that put up a sign about God being king and so on was not welcome in the Democrat Party. So apparently there is a whole range. Half of the country doesn't believe that God's in control.
Oh, it is amazing. The whole leftist mentality is just really something. And many of them have replaced real religion with climate. And climate serves as their religion. It gives them something to believe in, something to feel superior about often. And they want to convert other people to their climate religion. It requires a lot of different things.
Well, Frank, I didn't know that you had read my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. Chapter 15 is called The Environmental Deification, A Battle for the Souls of Men, Mother Earth versus Father God.
You recognize it as well. And many people that think about it can see this as well. But the climate's always been changing, as you opened up in this program. It's always changing, always will, and it's guaranteed. We also know because of we have a very strong, good proof of theories, is we typically, the world has had about 120 years of glacial times for the last million years. This has been a recurrent pattern with a little bit of variance, but about 120 years of glacial periods. Where I live in Wisconsin, we'd be under a mile and a half of ice. And then we have an interglacial period that lasts 10 to 15,000 years, maybe 20. We're about 12,000 years into this one. We should be talking about fearing the future climate change when we get interglacial again. We get a glacial period again, and the ice starts coming from Canada. And the middle part, the tropics stay warm, we believe. But the rest of the Earth gets very cold, and the glaciers come. And just as a side to this and how kind of crazy the world is right, I was just in Madison, Wisconsin, where the state capital is, and right across the street.
The heart of Liberalville.
Very much the heart of Liberalville. And right across the street from the capital, there was, operative word, was a very nice marble stand with a very nice brass placard on it that says, where you're standing here right now across from the capital, was under a mile and a half of ice 20,000 years ago. And I thought to myself, I saw it there for decades because I went to the Capitol frequently, and I thought, you know, they're going to take this out. I was just there last week, and it just occurred to me, and I went and looked. It's gone. They spent money to remove something that wasn't damaged and perfectly good because it doesn't fit the ideology.
Well, it's kind of like removing the Ten Commandments, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's sort of the same thing. Let's scrub history so it fits our narrative. The same thing happened with what you mentioned about the global cooling in the 1970s was the coming ice age. Why? Because it was getting colder from about 1940 to 1979. It got cooler. We have records from that time. We know what they were. NOAA and NASA, our official record keepers now, have gone back and adjusted that almost completely away. They've made it go away because it didn't fit the narrative.
Right.
Because supposedly more CO2 will increase temperatures all the time. Well, CO2 was increasing a lot, but temperatures were dropping. There's no explanation for that.
Yeah. And the CO2 thing is sold as the most malicious chemical combination in history, ready to destroy the whole planet. And yet it's CO2 that is the greatest benefit for growing crops. And that's the reason why in the 70s they said because of the growing freeze that's coming across the world, we're not going to be able to grow crops, and there's going to be a terrible drought. So now, instead of seeing the CO2 as a blessing to be able to grow the crops extraordinarily, they see it as a curse.
Worldwide, it's greening our planet, and it's necessary for life. That's the other thing. If we were locked in a room with plenty of oxygen and no CO2, we would die. We would die. Same thing for plants. Plants need CO2 to make carbohydrates, and greenhouses add CO2. It costs them to put it in there, and they get a benefit for it because the plants grow so much better. There's a NASA study. They haven't removed it yet, although they did go back in and edit it and add some more alarmist words here and there. But they have a study from 2016, scientific. They looked at the satellite data, and they said that the world in 2016 had gotten 35% greener in just 40 years. In just 40 years, it was 35% greener, that forests the size of Texas had regrown around the world, that the greenery equaled the greenery of the whole United States, the improvement, the increase. Worldwide crop harvest and nearly every crop in yields, how much is the harvest, how much total we get, and then the yield is how much you get per acre, are up in virtually every crop in every country in the world. In that study I mentioned that NASA did, they attribute 70% of the greening of the world to the additional CO2.
Isn't this fascinating?
Really good things. Really good things.
Exactly. You won't hear about that, Frank. You won't hear about that in the context of the news that's promulgated on MSNBC, CNN, Newsweek magazine, Time magazine, or any of the other more liberal engines of so-called news. So what they're doing is actually not telling all the news, but they're actually omitting some of the most important news so as to deceive the people.
They're absolutely doing this, and they're paid to do it, and they're proud of it, and they're collaborating or colluding, depending on how you look at it, on climate. Mm. So they're paid tens of millions of dollars by the climate industrial complex and by non-government organizations and by some liberal leftist foundation, and to tell us propaganda, to hide the truth, and to tell us things. And they go on. It's even worse than that. You're saying, you know, they don't tell us the truth about these things. They certainly don't. So you never hear about the fact crop yields are extra, are just growing exponentially. But they also lie to us about things like we just had hurricanes. And my daughter, by the way, moved to Asheville. Her and her fiance moved to Asheville for jobs just a month before they got caught in all the water and had to leave their apartment. So they're back and they're okay, and their place didn't get washed away because it was on a hillside. They were a little afraid it would slide into the river, but it didn't. And you know, they blame this and say, oh, you know, this is climate change. It's worse than it's ever been. We get more hurricanes than ever because of climate change. The facts are that the 1940s were the most active decade for landfalling hurricanes in the United States.
That's what I've understood.
The 1940s. Yeah, we had 25 landfalling hurricanes that decade, and 10 of them were Category 5 hurricanes.
Oh, my goodness, in the 1940s. Now, that must have launched World War II, right?
Well, it might have helped during World War II. I mean, that's another part. And kind of interestingly, and it fits in a little bit with God, is one of the other most active times and the most deadly hurricane ever was 1780, during the Revolutionary War. We were fighting the greatest military and the greatest navy on earth, and that was a very active decade for hurricanes that wiped out lots of troops and ships that benefited us because we didn't have much of a navy. So the weather and the climate had a hand in our winning the Revolutionary War. The French also lost a lot of troops.
So it was God. It was God who was orchestrating the hurricanes to accomplish a bigger purpose. I'm just being a bit facetious here, but yeah. Well, listen, you have obviously put a great deal of study into this subject, climate and energy lies, expensive, dangerous, and destructive. We're going to talk about why they're destructive and dangerous. $23, friends, is going to put the book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, Frank, you have headed up an organization. Tell us about that.
Yes, Truth in Energy and Climate, and it does exactly that. It's taking the complex world of energy and climate and trying to make it understandable for regular people with good sources. So We talk about the hurricanes. And in fact, we just had 11 years with no landfalling hurricanes at all, and none at all, which is highly unusual. So to claim that we're more often is just plain made up. So Truth in Energy and Climate, we also have a weekly e-newsletter for people on those two topics so that people can get the other side of the story.
All right. So what is your website?
Truth in Energy and Climate. Truth in Energy and Climate. And that's where you will find all kinds of information, as well as energy information. Having part-time wind and solar, adding that to our electric grid because it's part-time, is only going to add more costs. And worse, we're borrowing the money, adding to our $36 trillion national debt, and buying them from the Chinese, who make 80% of these things.
And
we're helping China racking up our debt.
And as you say, totalitarian communist China, using climate policy to its advantage, actually is a substantial threat to global freedom and security, and is creating the worst contamination of our climate and our air and so on of any other, in fact, greater than the aggregate of all other nations. Is that correct?
All industrial nations combined, China produces more real pollution and more CO2 emissions than all other industrial nations combined, including the United States. So, and they're growing exponentially, and they're building hundreds of coal plants. And there's no end in sight to their emissions of both real pollution and they do pollute more. We have the cleanest air in the world. It's gotten much cleaner in the last three decades. People don't know that. And you mentioned totalitarian control.
Right.
And you talked earlier about, what is this really all about? Because there's the green grifters. There's the people who believe it's a religion.
Mm-hmm.
There are some true believers. There are a huge industry of researchers who can make anything up and blame it on climate. Like, it's a little bit warmer, so, that's climate change causing more acid.
Well, they raise massive amounts of money for their universities and so on. But in order to do that, they have to come out with the right result that's going to go along with the woke view of climate.
They have to support the narrative.
Exactly.
If they don't support the narrative, and one of the examples I use in my book, and this is fiction, I made it up, but it is how the world works, is you say you have a Wisconsin or Minnesota professor who really loves snowshoe hares. They're the big hares, they're big rabbits that turn color in the winter and become white in the winter and brown in the summer. And they just really want to go study them. So they write grant requests, and nobody wants to fund that. They're not that interesting, although they do change color. So then he gets the climate angle. Well, I'm going to study it in relationship to climate, whether they can survive the changing climate. So he knows, and he gets funded, and he gets to spend his year studying those rabbits out in the woods. And he knows if he writes this up and says, you know what, everything will be fine, they'll adapt. If it does change and the winters don't have as much snow, it'll be okay. He knows he'll never get funded again. But if he comes back and just makes some wild claims like, the whole ecosystem will collapse because, they won't turn white in the winter, and then all the wolves and coyotes will eat them, and then the whole thing will just blow up. He'll become famous.
Right.
And he'll get a lot more money in the
hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions of grants from the government or from businesses in order to do this. All right. The book Climate and Energy Lies, Expensive, Dangerous, and Destructive. Indeed, they are. And let me just share with you something very quickly, my friends, from my own book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. The chapter called Environmental Deification. We're going to do that as soon as we get back from this break. It's not man's but Earth's destiny that now drives the pseudo-religious passions of the planet. That's what we're going to take a look at and get back to our new friend, Frank Lassay, concerning his studies concerning climate and energy.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and we're talking today with Frank Lissay concerning the matter of climate, so-called climate change, what its implications are, how this is being understood. And in order to understand that even more fully, and Frank has alluded to this, I want to go back to my own book, Messiah, my next to last book, the chapter called The Environmental Deification. And here we go. When Earth Day started in 1970, few people would have expected it to become a globally observed religious holiday with its own Ten Commandments, including use less water, save electricity, reduce, reuse, recycle, and spread the word. As Robert Nelson, professor of environmental policy at the University of Maryland, wrote, environmentalism has become primitive religion. America's leading environmental historian, William Craner, of the University of Wisconsin, calls environmentalism a new religion because it offers a complex series of moral imperatives for ethical action and judges human conduct accordingly. He said it's no mere coincidence that contemporary environmental prophecies virtually echo the same set of calamities warned by God in Deuteronomy for the worship of other gods. Going on, even without realizing it, writes Professor Nelson, environmentalism is recasting ancient biblical messages to a new secular vocabulary. One radical environmental organization even declared that the most important commandment for beings was to put Earth first. Earth first, not God first, Earth first. So we begin to get a picture here that is not what people would think it is. It's not really about science. It's about the perversion of science or the distortion of science in order to achieve a secondary agenda. Frank, tell us about what that secondary or secondary agendas might be.
Well, ultimately, the UN and the United Nations and the World Economic Forum, the WEF, both of these are international organizations. One is private and one is government, members of all the countries in the world. They both have been promoting this for years. And the whole global warming, blame CO2, started from the Club of Rome. They wanted to control people, and they want to, very Malthusian, they want to get rid of at least half the people in the world. They think 8 billion people is too many.
Right.
And really, we should get down below a billion, maybe even 500 million. And the others, you know, they don't want to mention who's going to die, but that's most everybody. And they want to have ultimate control. And if I said this 5 or 10 years ago, and it's covered in my book, I would have thought, you know, this is kind of crazy conspiracy talk, but the clues are there and they're quite open about it. If you really dig into the documents of the World Economic Forum and the UN, they have stories to this effect. They want to dramatically change the way our lives are operating.
Right.
And they really want to kill capitalism and replace it with their enlightened control of all of us.
So that you will own nothing and be happy about it.
That is what Klaus Schwab, the leader of the World Economic Forum, said. The idea is, to be a little fair to him, and I've read his book, is, you know, we'll be renting everything. So huge corporations will rent us everything, and is like little good Chinese communists, because they are doing this in China, as long as we agree with their narrative, don't speak up and keep our heads down and follow their rules, it'll be okay. But if not, and for instance, in that area, and it's kind of a mistake, Google backed off, but a gentleman was locked out of his Google home. Everything was hooked up to the Google system, his Nest to get in, unlocked, everything. And he made some social posts. They weren't even very bad that somebody complained about. So Google locked him out.
Well, this is exactly what Bill Gates has in mind with his patent that was filed in, what was it, 2020, March of 2020. That would merge the control of all of our economic matters together with our medical matters so that, in fact, the government could just cut off all your ability to do anything, to get medical treatment, or even to buy or sell.
Well, and that's why they want digital currencies, folks. There's no reason for digital currencies. That's just electronic versions of the dollars and $100 bills in your pocket.
Right.
And they want that because it's programmable to the individual. So they can say, you know, we don't like what Frank Lissay wrote in his book. So he can't spend money anymore. None. And they do this in China now. If you get a bad credit score, you can't borrow money. You can't travel. You can't even use the internet. I mean, they have complete and total control over it. And, you know, if you're nice to your neighbor, follow the rules, say great things about the Communist China Party, then you have a better score. That's how this works. They're actually testing this with CO2. And they call it carbon tracking. But calling CO2 carbon is like calling water hydrogen. It's just another one of the lies that they do. CO2 is not carbon. It is CO2. And the biggest bank in Australia, with more than 20% of the Australians using it, are sending their customers, based on their debit and credit card data, a monthly CO2 report and how they can lower their CO2 footprint every month. You say, well, that's kind of interesting, a little Big Brother-ish, but they're doing that. Then couple that with in Sweden, and this may have changed because they've elected a non-climate-crazed government, a center government, but this is a private effort, to have CO2 tracking cards. So not only is it everything you buy and eat, but it's also watching Netflix, working on your computer, listening to watching TV. Anything that uses energy would be tracked with your CO2 tracking card. The idea that they're working towards is to give us CO2 rations and hook that up to the digital currency. So then at the 25th of the month, if you're a regular person and can't buy CO2 indulgences like rich people can, so they can fly in private jets because they can afford to buy the credit, the rest of us hit the 25th of the month and you run out. Well, they won't let you put gas in your car, but they'll let you charge your electric moped. They won't let you buy meat, but they'll let you buy bugs. So they'll use this to modify your behavior, get used to things that you find repulsive, and control all of us. This is ultimately where they want.
All right, so it's about control. And what that is called in the bigger picture is globalism. The new global order, and it's the Pope. Pope Francis is one of the premier supporters of this. And interestingly, the three latest popes, including John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Pope Francis, have all subscribed to and called for a new world government, a new world order. They've all done it, and now Francis has upped the ante for this, and this is the direction it's going.
Well, and of course, they'd like to be involved with running that government. I mean, that's what this is all about.
You're kidding. No, wait a minute. You're really kidding that the so-called Vicar of Christ wants to rule the world, a secular world?
Yeah, unfortunately, this Pope and several have taken.
You must have read my book, King of the Mountain. have you read that book, King of the Mountain, the eternal epic and end time battle, for he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world?
I have not, but it sounds like something that I'd very much like to read.
Well, I think you would.
The same way.
I don't think you'd want to put it down either. Okay, give us your website again.
Yes. Truth in Energy and Climate. Truth in Energy and Climate. And that's where you can get more information on these two topics and trying to break it down simple with good, solid facts backing up what we're telling you there. So that's a great place to go to get more information. And kind of going back to the world government and the examples of it, is this is where they were going and why the treaty that was defeated for entering in and giving the World Health Organization, WHO, control over pandemics, because they were searching for and wanted to get WHO to have control over all of our member nations, all of the United States included, and then declare a climate emergency for our health. Mm-hmm. And then start to implement all these things and tell countries, boss countries around, to tell us what they should do to protect our health. An example of this in the real world is the EU, the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
Each member country has to do what the EU is telling them for the climate. So in the Netherlands, the number two exporter in the world, that little country exports second after the United States, a food exporter, is they're working to close down 30% of the farms.
Isn't that fascinating? And why are they doing that?
Because they're attacking methane and nitrous oxide.
Oh.
If you know the facts at all, there's zero reason to regulate either of those.
And that's why they want to get rid of all our cows, too, because they produce methane, natural gas.
Well, and Bill Gates is working on something to stop cows from making natural gas, methane.
Uh-huh.
But the fact is they ferment their food. They eat grass and they ferment it.
Uh-huh.
That creates methane. So you're actually aiming at the very foundation of what makes a cow a cow and what makes a cow grow and be healthy meat and food for all of us. So they're attacking our food supply on purpose, as well as attacking our energy supply. Another example is Ireland. They're paying cow and have policies in place to shrink their dairy cow herd by 200,000 cows. The price of milk, cheese, and butter in Ireland is going to go up because they are killing milk cows for the climate. In Denmark, they have passed. They aren't going to be implemented for two or three more years, but they have cow and pig and chicken taxes for the climate because they produce methane and they're bad for the climate. And they have a new policy that they are going to reforest 10% of all the farmland. So they're taking 10% of Danish farmland and turning it into a forest. Price of food is going to go up in Denmark, too. And they're doing it for the climate because the EU, their boss, told them they have to do it.
All right, so they're worshiping Mother Earth while denying Father God. And in your book, you really talk about this in Chapter 3, Climate Change is a Religion. Believing in man-made catastrophic climate change gives some people's lives purpose and meaning, a reason to get up in the morning, a way to feel good about themselves as they spit out pieces of their melted paper straw at the traffic light in their EV. They can feel self-righteous or even better than other people, never giving any thought to their EV tires putting far more nanoplastics into the environment than their old gas car, because the EV tires wear out much faster since they're so much heavier. It's just, the whole thing is a gasping joke. We'll be right back after this, friends. Stay tuned.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, we're back to the discussion of climate change. We know that climate changes. It's been changing ever since creation. And even though there were no automobiles, there were no carbon emissions to say back in the days of Noah and for the 2,000 years before that, yet the climate still changed. Amazing, isn't it? Just utterly amazing. Do you see how easily we're deceived, friends? We're deceived not by what we're told, but by what we're not told as well. And that's why when I called a witness to the stand as a trial lawyer for 20 years there in California, the clerk of the court would cause the witness to raise their right hand and say this: "Do you now solemnly swear that the testimony before you shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God?" And by the way, I never heard a witness say no. Yet many of them just lied through their teeth, as I proved through cross-examination. And that's why cross-examination is called the greatest engine for truth ever known or devised by man. Well, we're cross-examining the situation here on Viewpoint today with our friend Frank Lissay. And he says that this is a cult, the cult of climate change, and it has a doctrine. The cult of climate change is similar to a religion in that it provides a moral framework for righteousness, that is, reducing CO2 emissions and funding ending fossil fuels through sacrifice, that is, reversing the prosperity of the industrial age in exchange for salvation, that is, avoiding mass extinction. And they know that endless hardship doesn't sell, so they make up false tales of cheaper energy and less bad weather if you just go along with their radical agendas. He said devoted Christians are much less likely to believe in this cult, and indeed there are good reasons for that. Frank, you and I are seeing pretty much eye to eye on this situation. I'm going to share some thoughts again, quote directly from my own book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. You may wonder, well, why do you have a chapter in there about the environment in a book called Messiah? It's because there are numerous different messianic missions or so-called messiahs, messianic agencies in the world that are deceiving the world and deceiving the people before the second coming of Christ. And that's the reason. So we're looking at just one of those here today on Viewpoint, and people are deceived. So why is it that we're so easily deceived?
One, we are looking for things to believe in, and I think the other is most people are busy going about their lives, and they don't have specialized knowledge. And they're not very interested, but they do catch some of the news, and they're being told relentlessly these climate and energy lies. I mean, that, you know, wind and solar are cheaper. It's going to lower your electric rates. Don't worry, we're increasing them now, but someday in the future they'll come down because of the wind and solar. That's not true. It's just not true.
All right, well, here's what we know. We know recently, in fact, just as we were about to enter the program today, and a news release came out from Walmart, saying that Walmart is deciding to cast away the so-called DEI, diversity and equity and inclusion motto, as many other corporations are now. I thought that was a given. I thought that was wonderful. I thought that was the new salvation for our culture. But now they're casting it away. I wonder if the same thing would be true with casting away all of this climate stuff. It's utterly false.
Well, and that may be happening because people do, you know, I study this stuff all the time from every different angle and the political side, because I was in politics for a long time and getting elected, is that many people do trust their leadership. And this now that Trump is coming out and challenging that notion that we have catastrophic climate change and that we have to, you know, triple your electric bills because of it. You got to pay double or triple for gas like they're doing in California to put in your car, all for the climate, that you need hardship upon hardship, and that there actually is hardship because, you know, they were lying to us. There's no hardship. It's just all going to be gravy. It's completely and totally false. So that does make a difference. And also the polling is real, and that's why in this election, we had the Democrats and Harris saying, you know, we need to censor people. That's why they're censoring them in England hard now, hard, and they want to do it in Germany. Because when people get the facts and you go, gee, my electric bill keeps going up, I'm really kind of tired of it, I wonder why. And, the news reports all blame it on the Russians and something else. But then you see, you know what? You know, they're adding wind and solar, and it actually increases your electricity bill. Hey, wait a minute, that's not the truth. Wait a minute, they've been lying to me. What else are they lying to me about?
Yeah.
That's why they wanted to censor people like you and I. And it was very real, although we have something in our Constitution. Trump is now saying that he's going to leverage our NATO, and he's leveraging everything. I mean, threatening if they don't control the borders and illegal immigrants and the fentanyl coming through Canada and Mexico, he's going to increase tariffs dramatically on them. Hey, more power to him. He also said he is going to leverage our membership in NATO to protect free speech. And they certainly need it really badly in the United Kingdom right now.
Yep.
And by the way, the United Kingdom, Germany, and Denmark all pay on average triple our electric rates, and they're all adding lots more wind and solar, and their electric rates are continuing to skyrocket. They're experiencing deindustrialization, which is VW is going to close several plants and lay off literally thousands, if not tens of thousands of workers, caused by high energy prices, which are caused by climate policy.
Oh, it's quite pessimistic. On the other hand, godless salvation is a very dangerous thing. And that's exactly what all this is about. You indicate that the cult of climate change is a bully, like a fear-mongering fire and brimstone preacher who focuses less on God's love and more on the message of your sin and damnation to hell. Cross them, that is the climate people, and they will attack you. You're a heretic. You have to be cast into hell or outsized from society. This cult has caused hysteria and depression for millions of young people since the inception of their propaganda and indoctrination programs. Grade school kids fear what will happen to them when the earth overheats. Many fear their future will face on too hot an earth. Our civilization and children need saving from climate change, energy policies, not from climate change. Now, on the other hand, Frank, the Bible tells us that there is going to be a monstrous climate change. In fact, the earth is going to melt with fervent heat, the Apostle Peter said.
And that's entirely possible. And the internal temperature of the earth is 6,000 degrees.
Wow.
And we have volcanoes, and that they do various things, and they actually fit in with something with the climate. They're leading us to believe that the Antarctica is melting. And the reason that one peninsula, and it's a big area, it's almost the size of North America, and one peninsula out the side, like it would be like the Baja Peninsula of Mexico, is melting from underneath because there are 138 active volcanoes that are letting off a little bit of steam, literally, from the earth, and that's heating the water, which is melting that area. The rest of Antarctica, we have good records there for the last 70 years, has not warmed in 70 years. Has not warmed in 70 years.
That's correct.
And the Antarctic ice is just fine there as well. But this is all the misleading documentation that they have. And historically, we also know in the very long term, tens of thousands of years, that the climate can change very rapidly. When we came out of the glacial period into the present interglacial Holocene, in the first half of this 12,000-year period was much warmer than it is now, when the Sahara Desert was a jungle with lots of rain. But things changed very rapidly, and periodically this has happened. And even in writings that we've seen this sort of thing in the last 500 years, where we have, a decade where it's really warm or really cold or something really odd, or Minnesota didn't have any winter for a couple of years in the late 1890s, I think 1892. Really, no winter at all? I mean, no snow, no cold? I mean, this happened, and it could happen again, and we know it's happened. But yet they're trying to sell us on this climate change, and they're using climate change because they want to frighten us to do some things we wouldn't do unless we were frightened.
Exactly, and it's about control. Let me share this with you as we wrap up, right out of, as I said, my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. Cornerstone for a New World Order. Climate is everything, declared the cover of Time magazine on April 28th, May 3rd, 2021. But what does everything mean? Is the word climate somewhat of a euphemistic alternative to the term Mother Earth? Or does it have even greater messianic import? The answer to that question reveals the supreme gravity of the global pursuit of religious environmentalism by Pope and politician alike. Environmentalism has become the new gospel of planetary salvation, the seductive spiritualized glue to bind humanity in a fear-induced unity, thus seducing mankind in unified worship of creation in hot pursuit of a resurrected Garden of Eden utopia to be achieved by a new world order. Then, quoting Mikhail Gorbachev, the former head of the Soviet Union who formed the Gorbachev Foundation in Northern California, he said this: mirroring the quest for a new spirituality, Gorbachev's website opened with these words: "We need a new system of values, a system of the organic unity between mankind and nature and the ethic of global responsibility." He spoke as if it were a New Age Leninist seeking to replace Christianity with a new religious order in which humanism, central to communism, and pantheism, central to Eastern mysticism, all laced with Christianized terminology, combined to unify the planet for the greater goal of a new world order. So here's what Gorbachev declared before he died. Quote, "The environmental crisis is the cornerstone for the new world order," unquote. Need we say more, Frank?
No, and there's no environmental crisis, folks. Rest well, sleep well. More CO2 is a benefit. Wise policies that use our resources, fossil fuels, oil, coal, and natural gas, make so much more sense. A great example of this, covered in my book, is the island of Hispaniola. Half of it is Tahiti, a failed state that has a strong-arm leadership, doesn't even have a government now, I don't think.
Uh-huh.
It's completely collapsed. The other half is doing quite well, the Dominican Republic. I went on vacation there years ago. They have development. They import oil. They have electricity. And here's the enlightened part of what they do, is they subsidize and lower the cost of propane and natural gas, methane, for people to cook with who are poor. So instead of doing what they did in Haiti, which is go out and cut down every tree, find every twig, to cook your meals so that you can eat something warm. And in fact, if you look at it from Google Maps from the sky, it's completely denuded of trees. They still have 43% of the jungles and the trees on the other half of the island. They're putting up a wall to keep the Haitians out from coming over and cutting down all their trees, too. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
But this is enlightenment, helping people cleaner. It's so much cleaner to cook over propane than it is over a wood. It just is. And that helps women. If they were really about women's rights and helping families and progressing, they would be doing everything they can to move people from burning. We still have a couple billion people burning wood and charcoal and dung for energy. They'd move them to propane, but they don't want that.
All right, you've got some kids, right?
Yes, I do.
How many?
We're kid rich. We're blessed. Between my wife and I, we have 7 kids, 6 daughters and 1 son.
Wow. And what are their ages? The range.
Our son is 11, and the oldest one just turned 29.
Okay. And how are they responding? I mean, they're being inculcated probably with a lot of this nonsense. Where are they standing? Or are you in the midst of intra-family persecution over these issues? Just asking the question. You don't have to answer the question. Just throwing it out there. Friends, it's a reality for our time, Frank. The book Climate and Energy Lies, Expensive, Dangerous, and Destructive. No question about it. We can't begin to unfold all of it here for you on the program today, but we've done our best. $23 will put the book Fascinating Insights in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 for postage and handling. And a big thank you to you, Frank, for joining us and all the efforts you put forth here. And friends, become a partner with us. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. You know, we do not have commercial support for this program and have not for almost 30 years. God looks to you to be the support, as do we. Thanks for joining us. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.